Good morning. Today is Thursday, August the 26th. Joining us this morning from the California Highway Patrol, Mr. Paul Kraft. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having
me. And Landscaping Service.
Shoot. Oh, okay. Yeah, I noticed I had like a pile of brush in the back of my truck this morning.
I thought we had some renegade coming down the road going to dump something off in the parking lot.
Well, I have time in the evenings to do the work, but the dump's closed for the green waste in the evening, right. So got to wait till I got some time off.
So you're going to loop it this morning?
I'll probably make it in there tomorrow.
You drive around like that? You can't drive like that out on the highway.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't blow out and no debris in the road, it's tied down. We should be okay.
All right.
I got to set a good example, I know.
Yeah. Yeah, we thought we might be able to trip you up there, but apparently not, huh? All right. Are you ready for, or why do we say that?
Hit me.
Why do races have first, second, and third prizes?
That's a good one. I've never thought about that at all.
This practice is a result of a silversmith's inability to satisfy his customer. In the early 17th century in Chester, England, the sheriff agreed to provide a silver trophy for a horse race and contracted with the silversmith to do the work. The silversmith's first trophy was unacceptable, and he was sent back for another try. The second one, too, was unsatisfactory, and he was instructed to do it a third time. The third trophy was fine, and now the sheriff had three trophies instead of one. So as not to be wasteful, the sheriff decided to award trophies for first, second, and third place.
Definitely not anything he ever thought about or would associate with something like that.
No.
Thought it was just arbitrary.
And like, why bronze?
Well, let's recognize three people out of the race.
Yeah. Oh, gee. So I got your little push through yesterday.
Yes.
Saying that somehow I guess we've been bad boys and girls in Mendocino and Humboldt County driving on 101. And I would surmise that Del Norte probably isn't an issue because nobody can get through last chance grade.
Yeah, right. So, traffic gets slowed down a little bit. You know?
So the ratio of cop to driver is significantly less there. Yeah. People are paying attention. Have we seen a change in, I guess, safe driving in Humboldt?
It will take some time to look at numbers. So right now, we hope that this is having an effect. And, you know, the press release for what we're doing is geared locally, but this is ongoing throughout the state. So the entire corridor of 101 from the north end to the south end. And,
from border to border?
Yeah. And I-5, and it alternates. So we can put a focus on those two different highways, which are main arteries for the north-south routes in the state. That was a tongue twister.
Made it through, though.
Yeah. Say it fast one time.
Yeah.
You know, through this extra, you know, not just extra enforcement, but encouraging the officers that are already working out there to take extra time in those areas, we're hoping that we see the reduction in there. And I believe that we will, but it will take time to look at the numbers from previous years. And
well, I would think the historical trending is kind of dangerous right now because there was so little traffic last year. So whatever the ratios are, could have gone way up or way down just because of the universe wasn't that many. And then you start going back, and there's different patterns, I would suspect, overall. So is it a 5-year trend, a 10-year trend? What is that base reference that they're looking at to kind of have this concern?
Well, I personally won't be reviewing those stats or putting that together, but I would say you would have to go back at least 5 years. We couldn't do a comparison for the last 2 years. That just the anomaly of the lockdown and the change in traffic was just immense. Going out on days and not seeing a car on the road really changes what happens out there. However, it was really kind of weird what we saw because you would think less traffic, less violations, maybe less DUI arrest, and we tended to see some increases in that. And I believe that came more from the visibility of it. So people that had those habits that were going to go out and do that and drink and drive, they stood out more and were more easily visible to the officers out there. That's an observation on my part. I believe that was a big part of that, though, and seeing an increase in some of those numbers. So
I would think also, like for this year, and possibly last year as well, the increase in tourist traveling in our area. People who are unfamiliar with our area, they're leaving somewhere, you know, hauling a trailer. You know, we've seen a lot of the RV
yes.
folks. Okay, they may never have been here before. If you're used to driving I-5 and now you're driving through the lagoons, it's a slightly different experience.
It is.
You throw a little wind in there for good measure, and now you really got some exciting times.
Well, plus the fact that there's new scenery for them to look at, and people tend to be drawn away from the road, which presents some unsafe driving and drifting over the center line or onto the shoulder. You know, the other, not addressed in our recent press release for traffic enforcement, but also had a push in recent months for pedestrian and bicycle safety and enforcement in those areas. And they're on the shoulders. When someone's not paying attention to the road, drifting off the shoulder, you know, it does create that additional hazard for those, the pedestrians and cyclists as well. This summer, definitely compared to last summer, increase in the vacationers, seeing more travel trailers, RVs, but those drivers are also new to what they're doing, and we've come across and made contact with many more new drivers that maybe aren't as comfortable pulling a trailer or driving a very large RV, and that brings an increase of just minor traffic collisions or backing into, you know, a vehicle in a parking lot because they're not used to driving something that big.
So has this been a typical summer thus far, or are you seeing or feeling that there are some changes and this is a bit of a different year when you're working?
It feels like there has been an increase in that type of traffic, the big vehicles with the RVs and trailers of that nature. It does seem a little heavier, but traditionally every summer we just see a heavy pattern of that anyway through here. That, though, is being affected by the fires and the closures on the highways.
That's the other thing.
Had to divert.
You start to see, you know, if 299 isn't working or 36 isn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
okay.
True.
More excitement coming your way. It's 819.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. You don't have a kilt, do you?
I do.
Do you?
Yeah. My heritage is Scottish. My mother's side of the family is Wallace.
D. Wallace?
I'll just assume so, yeah. I've always said that. I had no idea. Now, the reality is my grandfather came over on orphan trains or came down on an orphan train from New York, my great-grandfather. And then the orphanage came from records burned up in a fire, so we've been unable to track back. Yeah, other than doing, like, the DNA test, but I haven't. It doesn't really show anything fancy.
Hey, maybe there's a ruin that you could lay claim to.
I'm hoping. I'm going to go over and visit one of these days.
Or 250,000th. Pick a stone, any stone, it's yours.
Yeah.
And let's talk about the upkeep, okay?
It's just stone.
Yeah. No, it's what was inside the stones, between the walls. The increased enforcement, is it an awareness for the community? Is it an awareness for the officers along 101 that... okay, we're going to be paying more attention. Are there heightened fees associated with it during a period like this?
No, it's just to the primary collision factors that mostly cause collisions.
Let me guess. Speed.
Speed.
Inattention.
Yes, that's a big one.
And chemical imbalances.
Well, that contributes, but unsafe turns for us and just
Just driving pattern habits.
Sure.
Oh. Yep.
You know, primarily with motorcycles, you'll see unsafe turn as a big factor in collisions. So a vehicle turning in front of a motorcycle because they didn't see them or weren't paying attention. The last couple that we've seen in the safety corridor weren't based on speed from the motorcycle, which some people may assume, well, the motorcycle must have been flying through there.
Yeah.
It's just, innocent person making a turn or coming across. Or even not in the safety corridor, but also on just a two-lane road, just not seeing, being visible enough or having a motorcycle visible. But those primary collision factors that typically lead to collisions, we want to focus on those, which in turn should help reduce the number of collisions that happen. So if we can stop more speeders, more people making unsafe turns or driving recklessly, aggressively, aggressive driving, the impaired driving, we always focus on that. The hope is that statewide we can see that reduction in crashes because it has gone up over time, looking back a number of years, but we've had these anomalies the last couple of years we talked about. We're hoping that we'll see the change, that we can jump in now as people get back on the road, re-educate, and then begin enforcement again. Because we don't just enforce, so we're not just out there writing tickets either. It may be an educational moment that we talk to somebody. Mm. And I like to use that mostly for younger drivers. They're new to driving. You know, they haven't had the experience that older drivers have to make the right decisions. They're also more impulsive, typically. So using those stops, contacting younger drivers, it might be an educational moment instead of an enforcement moment. So,
but either way, compliance is the goal.
Correct.
So,
saving lives.
Yeah, you had indicated that the office was running a little skinny right now. During these periods, is there overtime? Is that what the goal is, or is it just more an attentiveness?
Both. Officers are asked to focus in areas. So like an officer working today may be responsible for their beat or their area would cover from the north end of Eureka to, say, Giantoli Lane. That officer who is responsible for that entire area, briefing this morning, probably talked to him and said, you know, today let's get some extra enforcement on 101, not to ignore the outlying areas, the rural roads and stuff, but it's an opportunity to focus some enforcement and some visibility there. But on top of that, we get grant monies for different things, whether it's grant monies for teen distracted driving. And in fact, you asked me earlier about the fair. And typically this time of year, I have a booth at the fair and I'm working there at the entrance. And this year we're not. And it's not really because of the COVID and things like that. I took the opportunity to take the grant funds that we get to be present at the fair, converted those into enforcement hours. And what I was able to do is take extra officers and put enforcement hours out there for teen distracted driving and adult distracted driving. So that it provides extra money to have extra officers out there as well, primarily for traffic or for coming in and out of the fairgrounds or traveling to the fairgrounds. But really, everybody in Humboldt County has opportunity or at some point maybe traveling to the fair, so we could reasonably, be here in the safety corridor or even on the north end in the Oreck area or the lagoons. Those areas see their fair amount of crashes, especially the RV kinds with the elk and stuff up there, too.
Have there been any elk?
We've been pretty fortunate this year where the crashes haven't been significant up there. In fact, I'm not aware of one off the top of my head, but the elk are out there. I've been up that way, and yeah.
They still haven't figured it out, huh?
No, they do their own thing. They just mosey out across there when they want.
That's got to be a shocker for somebody who's from an area that doesn't have any large mammals.
Oh, they're majestic beasts, right?
Yeah. They also
make a big impact on
the
front end of a car.
Yeah. Can keep a body shop busy for a couple of days.
Yes, sir.
KINS.
dreaming big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
live. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. Paul, with the fires that are going on in the area, is it affecting you guys much? I would think Caltrans probably is leading the charge, like when the highways are open, the highways are closed, and that kind of stuff. But is that a false thought?
No, they definitely are working their butts off out there, but we're both affected in different ways. With the closures, 36, 299 right now, and even the 101 with Last Chance Grade, there have been officers assigned to those areas because, unfortunately, there are people that maybe pull up to the closure, aren't happy, can't get through, or have to wait. Impatience turns into anger. Having just
they'll lash out?
Yeah, every time. From time to time. Not every time. it may seem like that to the person standing out there, but people tend to get frustrated, and that's understandable, especially if you're not aware of what's going on or you missed the 12 signs that say the road's closed ahead. But it can be helpful to have someone there to help temper that a little bit, and we don't want Caltrans standing out there alone. So, like right now, an example with the fires on 299, the Burnt Ranch area out to wherever the east side of that is, near Junction City maybe, Caltrans is actively working in that area, looking for debris in the roads to keep it clear for the emergency vehicles that are in those areas and the residents. But we are posted at the closures, and then we have roving patrols inside those areas, along with other departments, police departments that are helping out with the sheriff's departments, even Cal Fire and Forest Service. Everyone's working together to help prevent any looting or aid citizens or residents that have stayed inside those areas.
Kind of an interesting commentary that you have to worry about people getting in there and then stealing.
Yeah, it's important that those that leave are allowed to feel safe about that. But it's unfortunate that there are people out there who will take advantage of that. So our goal is to help provide them whatever they need to feel safe in this time, because everything they have is there. Not everyone is able to take everything out of their house and take off with it. When I worked out at the Burnt Ranch area at the closure there a few weeks ago, I got the opportunity to talk to a number of the residents who came down to the closure just to chat and get info and things. And it was eye-opening. I haven't ever been through that. I mean, we have been here long enough that I have seen these things happening recently. But to sit and talk to them and spend that time with them, that was very educational, and I appreciated it very much to hear their stories and seeing what they're going through. It just made it that much more important for us to be there to do our part and to help them out. And we have officers that live within these areas that are losing homes or a threat of losing their home and their stuff. So it trickles down, and we're all affected.
Yeah, when it gets personal, it changes.
It does. I try to encourage our newer officers to come into the job taking it all personal in some way, so that they feel that drive to be there at all times for everyone.
Yeah, the human side of the equation.
Yeah. Remember that somebody else, the person you're talking to because they were speeding or you stopped them for whatever reason, they're going through something themselves. Something's happening there. Maybe it's just that they're distracted. Maybe they just are an aggressive driver all the time, but have a conversation with them and talk to them for a minute, and you'll learn those things. And that's kind of where I see we determine whether it's an educational
or the enforcement
contact at that point. And You know, just listen to people sometimes, especially now with everything that we've gone through in the last couple of years. It's just all that more important. So.
Well, and you've postulated this in the past also. For you guys, it's routine.
Yeah.
For us, it's exceptional. Well, hopefully.
Very, very good point. And reminding them that, you know, an officer may go out and make 10, 15, 20 stops or contacts in a day. And you do that every day.
Normal day, and then you start
to just walk up and talk like a robot and repeat yourself over and over again and forget that this individual has a contact like this maybe once in their life, or maybe it's, you know, every few months. Treat it that way. Remember that, like, it's the first time you're meeting someone again. Introduce yourself. Talk to them about why you're there. These are all the foundations that we use on a contact. We want to talk to them and tell them who we are, why we stopped them, and what's going to happen. So I think talking to them in a very stern way is not really necessary. You can have that conversation that answers those things too. So
Yeah, if that makes sense. Well, it's like probably when they go in to see the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember when it's a parallel. It's just a different wrapping, so to speak.
Yeah, the doctor's seeing, 20, 30 patients that day, and they're just going through
really quick. You know, bring them in here.
Yeah.
You know, they'll remember me. I won't remember them from Shinola unless they're regulars, right?
That's right.
You know, I think it's just that sensitivity part. And, you know, early on when you're fired up with enthusiasm.
Yeah.
You know, you want to get all the bad guys rather than understanding that, well, maybe they're bad guys. Maybe it's a bad activity. Maybe it's a bad hour.
There's a very smaller percentage of the people that we contact that are bad people doing bad things. Most people are just made an honest mistake or slipped or whatever it is. It's something very minor, and they're not bad people. They're trying
to be an example for a TV commercial for car insurance. Whoops. It's 8:42.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with 3 airlines serving 5 destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Times, 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. So, Paul, next time we talk, it's going to be fall.
Ha. Wow.
Yeah.
That came fast.
Labor Day weekend, next weekend. I'm sure it's going to be one of your... Whatever they're called. Yeah.
MEPs.
There you go.
Okay. Maximum Enforcement Period. Very similar to what we're doing today.
That's why I was wondering, is there much of a contrast from what we would be experiencing today?
No, it's pretty similar. But there's a higher focus because of the holiday weekend that's associated with alcohol and impairment, drunk driving. So you'll see like today's... Enforcement is based on driving violations, you know, the speed, stuff like that, the primary collision factors. The weekends, the holiday weekend enforcement, be probably focused more on DUI, grant funds that we have for the additional enforcement hours and extra officers would be geared towards DUI for the weekend. We'll have a press release out prior to that maximum enforcement period, but it's the same thing. Officers will be out in full force. We'll have more bodies out there and work together with other agencies to help keep everybody safe.
So it's kind of like an extended 3-day week.
You
know, for the next 2 or 3 weeks.
It is pretty much, right? Hopefully the traffic and travel during that time is... If we can get some roads open, sounds like Last Chance Grade will have less closure. Won't have the 4-hour closure starting Monday, so getting traffic moving a little better is going to be a good deal.
Yeah, that would be nice, at least for those that are running up and down the coast, to be able to just grumble about half of an hour instead of,
traffic on the road during a holiday weekend, I don't know if that's what ideal for us, but...
But I can't imagine missing the convoy by 5 minutes.
No, that would be heartbreaking. You know, we take a number of calls throughout the day of people just traveling through the area and, you know, asking for how to get to, from point A to B. And typically that's up in Oregon or Washington, and trying to help guide them through, you know, can be tricky and frustrating.
Swing by the grocery store in Oric, get your ice, get your sodas, get your food.
If you're traveling from Humboldt to somewhere, travel with drinks and snacks and entertainment in case you have to stop somewhere for an extended period of time.
I found out that ice cream is not a good travel companion, however.
But you eat that first.
Yeah. Unless you're in the RV and you got your fridge there.
Right.
Then, yeah, then you can make a ton of money.
No kidding, right?
I've always wondered, why in the world, at least at the bypass, right?
Right.
You wouldn't be just maybe a golf cart.
Sounds like a great spot for maybe a pop-up.
A little something. You just
food truck?
Yeah, or just walk up and down, kind of like, you know, the guys do at the ballparks.
Huh.
You know, have got your cold stuff, and then have your supply vehicle right behind you somewhere.
Just take someone with an entrepreneurial spirit to...
Yeah, and a lot of time on their hands.
Yeah. It's a long drive just to go pop up for a few minutes.
Yeah, sell $300 worth of water.
Okay. All right, the gas to get up there,
yeah,
and
exactly.
Back.
Exactly. Pay for your gas, and that's about it.
Yeah, right.
Have you seen anything funny through the old highways, whether it's the bypass, or not the bypass, but the old highway through the National Park or Avenue of the Giants or anything like that, where typically we'll see a lot of tourist activity? Are you guys running into anything there, or is that kind of just following the same patterns as everywhere else?
No, yeah, nothing outstanding there. The Avenue of the Giants falls under the Garberville area for their enforcement, so we don't see that traffic ourselves. But up north, no, nothing significant. So that's good. I imagine there's probably some travelers that are aware of the long-term closures at Last Chance Grade that might be seeing more traffic coming through there as they mosey north instead of just trying to drive through, realizing they have a wait. So,
yeah, Coos Bay is not 4 hours.
No, I take a little bit
four
longer.
Four plus four.
Yeah.
And then the period of time when you hold your breath and close your eyes and go real fast.
Oh, man.
I do not miss that one.
It's a long jaunt.
I can't imagine how folks are able to do it on a weekly basis. You know, some of the educators or some of the other folks that go back and forth every week.
Hey, you know, a podcast, good.
Yeah, maybe the Zoom thing instead of, or you leave at 4 a.m.
You definitely have to time your travel pretty well these days from here.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Recruitment-wise. Are you guys?
Yes.
You said you had four newbies?
We have four new officers that are in field training right now with officers. So we're excited about the future right now because our background investigator, and you know Victor, and he's been in here before. He's been working really hard at recruitment in the area, and we have some pretty good numbers and local candidates coming through. So we are continuing to recruit every day. We don't have a period. It's ongoing. So contact us. Get on our website.
Looking rosy.
Yes.
So
yes.
To speak.
Things can get better from here. They can.
Very cool. By the way, keep your kilt at home under lock and key.
All right. You might see me in it next month then. You got me inspired.
See everybody tomorrow.